Pazik Chav continues. Vayomer Shlomo Hatasi Shuv Bnei David Kloy Ora Ora Lecha Oid Tachas Asher Yikar Nafshi Beinecha Ayem Zeh Hine Iskalti VeEshge Harbe Moed. He's now realizing that he'd made a mistake by chasing David. There's no reason to chase after him, and he's asking him not to leave Eretz Yisrael. Right, David. Told Shaul last week, we saw that those who are telling you that I'm trying to kill you are causing me to do an aver. They're causing me to leave Eretz Yisrael, and then I won't be able to keep the mitzvahs at Tluyos Baretz. I won't be able to keep the special mitzvahs that you can only keep in Eretz Yisrael, such as Truma and Meiser and Shemitah from your fruits and vegetables. And Shaul is now asking David, please do not leave Eretz Yisrael. First of all, he realizes that David is on his side. He values Shaul's life. And furthermore, he's regretting what he had done in the past to chase David, and he doesn't want to cause him to leave Eretz Yisrael. It's not a good thing to do. Vayam David Vayomer, Pasuk Chav Beis 22 continues. David answers him back and he says, he's offering to return the spear that he stole from Shaul HaMelech, and he still does not trust Shaul 100% because he's not approaching Shaul himself to bring the chanis. He's asking Shaul to send one of his men to come and collect it. So he's still not trusting him 100%. David is saying, now Hashem will repay me for what I had done. I had the opportunity of killing you. I did not kill you. Hashem will repay me for not killing you. The Gemara says, Schar mitzvah. Anytime a person does a mitzvah, it's schar that he gets another mitzvah. So David was saying over here that when I had the first opportunity of killing you, and I did not kill you in the cave where he managed to cut off the cloak of Shaul HaMelech, Hashem repaid me with another opportunity like that, and he gave me the opportunity of killing you again, and I did not kill you. That's how Hashem repaid me. So meaning just to prove that just like the first time, right, you were suspecting because Avner told you that I just got the piece of your garment from between the thorns, you were suspecting that I was actually lying. I never had that opportunity. Now, I can prove to you just like this happened, so too the first time where you were in the cave and you were very vulnerable all by yourself. Just like then I didn't kill you, so too now with the spear, I did not kill you either. Just like your life was valued by me today, so too Hashem will value my life. That's how Hashem will repay me. He will value my life and protect me from any troubles. Shaul turns to David and says, Baruch atah bnei David, you are blessed. Gam osay atase. Shaul was giving David a bracha, and he's saying, Hashem will repay you midah k'neged midah. This is the end of Parak Chavav. It seems like Shaul and David are departing in peace. However, we're going to see right now in the next paragraph that David is still not trusting Shaul 100%, and he has to end up leaving Eretz Yisrael. So let's see. Perek Chav Zayin 27. Pasuk Aleph says, Ve'er David Eliboy, Ata Esafe Yom Echad Biyad Shaul. One day, Shaul will actually get to me and manage to kill me. Eli Toiv Ki Imolet Imolet Alars Plishtim V'Nash M'Veni Shaul V'Aksheni Oyed B'Chol G'Vol Yisrael V'Nim Latis Biyaday. So the best thing to do is to leave the land of Israel. I'm not safe over here. It's better that I leave, and that way I'll be more protected. And he was, meaning he didn't want the nisim that were done to him to take away from his chuyos. A person has a certain amount of merits, certain amount of chuyos, And the Gemara says that any time a nace, a miracle, is done for a person, they take away from his merits, take away from his chuyos. So David was afraid that at some point his merits will run out, and Hashem will not do any more miracles for him. Therefore, he decides to play it safe and completely leave the danger zone for him, which was the land of Israel. The best thing to do is to go to Eretz Plishtim, which Plishtim, again, they have a whole history with David. He ended up killing many of them, but we're going to see how he's going to get on their side, so to speak, and make them believe that he left his people, he left the Jews, and he's not allies with the Jews anymore. He now wants to become allies with the Plishtim. So now, he's hoping to gain 3 points by leaving Eretz Yisrael. Point number one is that while he's in Eretz Yisrael, while he's in the Jewish land, Shaul will always be suspecting David that he's gathering more men to join his personal army. So if he leaves Eretz Yisrael, Shaul won't be worried anymore. He's not going to think that David is trying to gain loyalty amongst the Jewish people. And that's what it says, V'nayash b'meni Shaul. Shaul will forget about me because he's not going to be worried that I'm trying to gather men. And secondly, after he knows that I'm not in the land anymore, he's not going to try to look for me anymore because it's too far. So he's going to give up on that. And if I go over to the land of Plishtim, I'm going to be so far. Not only am I going to be so far, but the king of Plishtim will protect me. So he's got 3 major points why he wants to leave Eretz Yisrael and go over to the land of the Plishtim. Pasuk Beis continues. David took a small army of 600 men, goes over to the city of Achish, who was the king of the Plishtim, of the Palestines. Now, we remember last time that David had an encounter with Achish. It did not end up well. Last time, he was by himself, and Achish wanted to capture him, but David managed to prove to Achish that he was actually crazy. He, remember the whole story with, he had the drool coming down from his mouth. He started acting funny and weird, and he wrote on the wall of the city that Achish owes him 600 zuzim, and his daughter owes him, his wife owes him 300, writing all these crazy things, so they would think that he was crazy. And Achish told his servants, "Achasam shigoyim ani? Do I need more crazy people?" Because the Mefarshim explained that his daughter was crazy as well. I already have one crazy daughter. I need another crazy guy to get together with her. Just let him go. So David managed to flee by the skin of his teeth. However, now he's coming over with a small group of men, a small army, and he wants to prove to Achish, the king of Plishtim, that he's actually on their side. He left the Jewish people, and now he's on the Plishtim side. So now, why is this sign better? Because last time, Achish would suspect David of being a spy. Since he's coming alone, all by himself, he's obviously a spy. He's trying to gather information and bring it over to Shaul. But now that he's coming with 600 men, there's no way that he's trying to be a spy. Right? If you're a spy, you don't come with a small army. Obviously, you're coming to ally with the police team. Second of all, it says here, Pasuk Gimel continues, Vayeshav David im Achish Begas, hu v'anashav ishu beisai. He settled in the city of Gas, which was the capital of the Plishtim at the time. It says, ishu beisai, they came with their families. They came with their families, obviously they're not trying to engage in war, because if they were, they wouldn't be bringing their families. David came with his two wives, which we saw previously how he married them. And it was clear to Achish that David is not a spy, he's not coming to engage in war. Clearly he just wants to settle and in peace because they brought their families. Pasuk Dalet continues, Vayugal l'shol kishvarach David Gas. Shol was told that David ran over to the city of Gas. V'lo Yosef oy levakshay. He let him be. He did not chase him anymore because, again, as we mentioned previously, he realized David is not trying to gather any men. It's going to be too hard to capture him. And third reason was that the melech of the king of Plishtim would protect him. So he just gave up on him and let him be.
Plishtim is any more of Jewish people.
Right. But David is now convincing Achish that he's now going to be on the Plishtim side. He doesn't want the Jewish people anymore.
It means his treason? He decided to join...
To join the Plishtim.
Enemy, means, but there is no another option to escape from...
He needs to ally with someone. He can't just run out of the land of the Jewish people and end up in the middle of nowhere. He's got to ally with somebody. And the neighbors of the Jews were the Plishtim, so that was the obvious choice.
No, but for us, this is kind of... It's positive for how we should see this action. Is positive or negative?
So we're going to see in a few more psukim, we're going to see that David, what David actually did with some of the enemies of the Jewish people. Meaning, this is only a... it's not a permanent agreement with the Plishtim. He's not going to obviously stay with them. He's going to join the Jews later on. But right now he needs a safe haven, so he's running over to the Plishtim to protect him. We're going to see exactly how he acts while he's there. So meanwhile, he's just settling there, and he just wants some peace. He doesn't want anyone to chase after him. David is now requesting from Achish that he will have a personal and private city that he can live in. And he says, why should you bother to have me around in the capital, right? I'm just a burden on you. There's no reason for you, for me to stay here. I just want a small, quiet place to relax. Now, there are three reasons why Achish might think that David will rebel against him and actually try to engage with war. Reason number one is that's why he wanted David to stay in the capital. What's the first reason? Reason number one is if David tries to engage in war with Achish, then Achish has his army together with him in the capital, and they would protect him from David engaging in war with him. So now David is addressing exactly that point, and he's saying, Don't worry about me rebelling you. He says, right? If I found favor in your eyes, meaning you believe me and you trust me that I'm on your side, you don't have to worry about me rebelling against you. So even though I'm going to be in a faraway city and there's no soldiers over there, you don't have your army over there, still you should trust me and not worry about me rebelling against you. And reason number two why Achish wanted David in the city was because if he's not in the city, then he would be worried that the Plishtim, who, as we mentioned, have a long history with David, fought against them, killed many of them, Achish might be worried that the other Plishtim will harm David in some way. So what does David do to address that? He says, "Itni limakam, give me a place of solitude, all by myself, no other Plishtim around. That way they won't be able to harm me. And that way I don't have to be in the capital." And the third reason is maybe he doesn't want to give him his own city, because if he gives him a fortified city, David can lock himself up in there. And get stronger. So what does he ask for? He says, right? I don't want a fortified city. I want the city without any walls around it. Therefore, you don't have to worry about me getting stronger and protecting myself inside the city. So what city did Achish give him? So he ended up granting his request, and he gave him the city of Tziklag. And Tziklag actually stayed with became part of the land of the Jews up until this day. The time that he stayed with the Plishtim was a few days and 4 months. And that's why the Pasuk brings the days first before the months, because first there was a few days that he sat in the capital of Gass together with Achish, and then 4 months after that he settled in the city called Tziklag. David realized that he is neighboring with three nations from the Shiva Amami, the seven nations that the Jews had a mitzvah of killing out when they entered Eretz Israel, when they entered Israel. So it seems to be a machlokes among the Mefarshim if these three nations, which were part of the original seven nations that the Jews were supposed to kill, if they were actually allies with Achish, the king of the Plishtim, or they were enemies. So according to one pshat, they were actually the allies of Achish. And David knows that he has a mitzvah to kill them out. All the Jews are supposed to kill out these Shiva Amamim, these seven nations, and these three that are still left are supposed to be killed. So what does David do? So he goes ahead, he kills out all of them, and he makes sure not to leave over anyone that will tell the tale. So he kills out all men, all women, all children, so there will be no one left to tell Achish what he had done. Because again, according to this pshat at least, they were allies with Achish. He doesn't want anyone to rat out on him. according to the second shot,
right now you say David is not in Eretz Israel.
Right.
So, what is that? He leaves people? Now he's outside of his Israel.
Yeah, but there's still a mitzvah to kill out the Shiva Amamim, no matter where you are. It's not a mitzvah tluya bar. It's not a mitzvah that depended on living in Eretz Israel. It's not. It's wherever you are. You have to kill them. Just like Amalek. Amalek also, it doesn't matter where you are, you have to kill them out.
Yeah, but I thought they had them only because they were in this area of Israel.
No.
You had to get rid of them when
right.
You came in.
Right, but yeah, you're right. It was a part of capturing Eretz Israel, of conquering it. But the mitzvah was seems to be separate mitzvah of killing out these Shiva Amamim. If it was only a matter of conquering it, then why do we have to kill out everybody? There's no point in killing out everybody. Apparently, it looks like these Shiva Amamim were the same status as Amalek, where we have to kill out everybody, no matter where you are.
But right now, David isn't the king, is he?
He's not the king, but it was a mitzvah on all Jews to kill out these...
So just go after
them? Yeah, wherever they are, you have to go after them. Yeah.
What's he gonna do? Watch TV all day? You gotta do something. This is his business.
Fighting. Right. Yeah, that was his business. That's what he did. He fought all the wars with the Jews. That's why he couldn't build the Beis Hamikdash. It had to be his son, Shaul, that would build the Beis Hamikdash. It couldn't be him. So according to the second pshat, that they were actually allies with him. That they were actually the enemies of Achish. He still did not want Achish to know that he killed these people. Rather, he wanted Achish to think that he actually was going out to kill the Jews. Again, he's trying to prove to Achish that he's on his side. So when Achish asks him, "Where were you?" Let's see. Pasuk Yud continues, "Ve'emar Achish al pshatat hamayim, where did you go today?" Ve'emar David al negev Yehuda v'al negev Yechmeili v'al negev Akeni. So, according to this second pshat, that they were actually allies. Then Dovin is telling him, he's just giving him the general location of where he went, of where he fought. And Achish would think that David, since that is the Negev, is the southern part of Israel, Achish would assume that where David went to fight was, he actually went to fight the Jews. Again, David is trying to prove that he's on the side of Achish. So he's just giving him the general location, so Achish would assume that he was actually killing the Jews, even though he was really killing these three nations that were left. He did not want to leave anybody left alive because he was worried that again they're going to tell Achish exactly what he had done. Achish believes David. He now trusts him. He knows that David is saying the truth, and he believes that David committed treason, as Rakali was saying, against the Jewish people, and he's now completely on the side of Plishtim. So David managed to not only kill out the three nations, but he also managed to prove to Achish that he's on his side and he's not on the side of the Jews. Okay, we finished this parak, so let's start. We still have a little more time left, so let's begin learning the next parak. Pasuk parak Chaf Ches opens up. Now David is facing a serious problem. The Plishtim are now gathering together to engage in war with the Jewish people. And Achish turns to David and he tells him, I want you to join me with this war. Again, Achish is assuming that David is on his side and he's willing to go out and kill the Jewish people because he's not on their side anymore. He doesn't believe in them. So the Malbim over here explains that Achish wanted David to be his personal bodyguard. So now, well, why did he want David to be his personal bodyguard? Because if he would hire his own army, generals from within his army, a king in those days was always worried on some level that the people from his army would want to murder him.
Get rid of him.
So they themselves can take over and take control over the army and over the country. So a king was always worried that his own generals would rebel against him and try to kill him and try to assassinate him. So typically what a king would do is he would hire soldiers from a different country who were neutral. They had no personal interest in gaining power. And even if they did manage to kill the king, it was completely pointless because the army would kill them out right away. So typically that's what a king would do in those days. He would hire someone else, completely neutral, and that way he was protected. The Malbim brings down that many of the Arab kings were actually killed in this way. Because they actually trusted their own armies, the generals in their armies, and it led to their armies killing out the king because they wanted to get into power. This happened in Egypt recently. Apparently, it's a very strong tradition among the Arabs, among Bnei Shmuel. That's how they take over. They kill the king, and they get into power instead.
They didn't vote.
They didn't have the right to vote. No. Not exactly a democracy. So now, Achish did not want David to go with the army because he was concerned that David, at the end of the day, might not want to fight against the Jewish people. Therefore, he wanted him to be close to him. He didn't give him the job of killing other Jews. He let the rest of his army do the dirty work, so to speak. And he wanted David to get closer to him, so he would be his personal bodyguard. Another point he was worried about. He was worried that the Plishtim themselves, the Plishtim soldiers, would not trust David because they know his past. They know that he killed out many of the Plishtim. And they might not trust him to kill out the Jews. And either they're going to harm him, or even if there's not trust among the soldiers, among the generals in the army, it could be very harmful for the army. If they can't work together, they can't work as a mechanism, then they're not going to be as effective. Therefore, Achish had the perfect job for David. He wants David to be his personal bodyguard, and that way he gains a few things. First of all, he gains that he's got a bodyguard that will be loyal to him, because Achish now believed that David really was loyal to him, because after all, he did give him a city, he did give him a place to rest. And that way, his army would not harm David. There wouldn't be distrust among the army, and the job of killing the Jewish people would get done properly. So what does David say? Ve'emar David el Achish, l'chein ata teda et asher yase avdecha. Ve'emar Achish el David, l'chein shemer l'reishi asimcha kol hayomi. So David knew exactly what Achish meant. He knew exactly that Achish was implying that he would be his personal bodyguard. And that actually was very good for him, right? He didn't want to fight the Jews, right? We know that he was on the side of the Jews deep down. And he did not want to fight them. He had no intention to kill out any of the Jews. He was just putting up an act to Achish that he was on his side because he didn't want Shaul to kill him. But really, he was on the side of the Jews. So he was very happy with that job. He was willing to protect Achish and to be his personal bodyguard. But he made believe as if he didn't really understand the meaning of Achish. So what does he say? Lechen ata teda es asher yasav decha. Meaning, you don't have to worry about my loyalty. You don't have to worry about me fighting amongst the army. And about me not really willing to be on your side. Because you're going to see how fiercely I'm going to fight against the Jews, and you don't have to worry about that. Again, he's trying to prove to Achish that he really is on his side, and he's willing to fight the Jews, because they're not his people anymore. But Achish now turns to him and he says, No, don't mistake me. I'm not trying. Meaning, Achish now understood that David is suspecting that Achish doesn't trust him. Right? So when David said, yeah, don't worry, I'm going to fight with the army, I'm going to be a part of them, I'm going to kill the Jews, Achish thought David is trying to prove to him that he's really on his side. That he's trying to fight together with the Plishti army. And he's willing to kill Jews. So Achish says, no. The reason why I want you to be my bodyguard is not because I don't trust you. It's not the reason, right? Again, Achish thought that David thought that he doesn't trust him. So he's proving to him, yeah, I'm willing to fight with you. He's saying, no, don't worry. I'm not worried about you, not trusting you. I trust you 100%. That's not the reason I want you to be my bodyguard. I want you to be my bodyguard because I don't trust my own men. And to prove to David, Achish wanted to prove to David that he really trusted him. Therefore, he's telling him, I trust you so much that I'm willing to have you as my bodyguard forever. Right? It's not just a permanent... It's not a temporary position. It's not a one-time thing. I'm willing to have you as my bodyguard until the end of days. Meaning, this is a permanent position. You will now, from now on, you will be my bodyguard all the time. Because you are the one that I trust most. That's how much David was able to deceive Achish, thinking that he was actually on his side. And it's really a funny situation, because on one hand, David really was on Achish's side, because Achish is providing him protection, he's giving him a place to live, he's making sure that Shaul will not capture him and not kill him. But on the other hand, he did not really leave the Jewish people. He does not want to fight against them. He doesn't want to kill them. But that's the impression he's trying to give to Achish, because he wants Achish to be his ally. So David is really caught in this funny, very difficult situation where he can't fight against the Jewish people, but he's got to prove his loyalty to Achish. So we're going to see in the continuation of this paragraph exactly how that pans out, and how David manages to keep his cover on one hand, proving to Achish that he's actually on his side, and yet not killing out any Jews. We still have, one more pasuk, because we still have a few more minutes. Shmuel meis v'isbdalei kol Yisrael v'ikberu b'ramo v'iroi. Shmuel passed away. Now, why is the pasuk mentioning this? Shmuel died a long time ago. Why is it only mentioned now? I'm saying, why is it repeating now that Shmuel actually died? So the reason why it's bringing that down again is for four reasons. First of all, is that after Shmuel died, Shaul went ahead and took action, serious action, against the Oivis. Oivis and the Yidonim were engaged in dark magic. They were able to bring down the Shamois. And
are we talking some of them are female, and the Yidonim are male, or it doesn't make?
We're going to see in this paragraph, we're going to see exactly what the difference between the Oivis and the Yidonim was. But Shaul only took an action, a very fierce action against this dark magic, these witches and wizards, because in the life of Shmuel, he didn't have to worry that anyone would engage in this kind of activity. Because Shmuel was alive, the great prophet, and they had, so to speak, a direct line to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was no reason for anyone to go ahead and address this dark magic, engage in that kind of activity. Therefore, only after Shmuel died was there an actual danger that people would actually go ahead and try to engage in this kind of activity. Therefore, after Shmuel died, Shaul took a very fierce stand, and he made sure that no one would address these people, would have any kind of contact with them, and he made sure they were completely annihilated. Now we're going to see in the rest of this parak why this is so relevant, and why Shaul had to do this.
Were they all Jewish? Or were they?
Yeah. They're all Jewish, but they're engaged in kishuf and dark magic, which is also al pi haTorah. So you're not allowed to do that. Therefore, then we're going to see now that Shaul was so desperate, because he's about to go out to war with the Plishtim, and he has no connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shmuel died. There's no other Nabi instead. And he's forced into a situation where he has to engage with the Ovis and the Yidonim, which was an Avera, but that was his last resort. He had no other solution. He didn't know what to do. So we're going to continue next week and see exactly what happens. Stop here.